Mentioned this at the top of the show. We were talking about new laws around debt collection. And it sort of shocked me when I heard them. I thought, wow, geez, I didn't know they were going to be able to do that. So debt collections are regulated by federal law and how they can contact you, how often they can contact you. There are a lot of strict rules. Collection agencies starting next year will be allowed to contact you more frequently. They'll be able to place up to 7 debt collection calls per week, phone calls, under some circumstances even more, as well as send an unlimited number of text and email messages and also access your social media and get to you that way. So what does this look like? What are the rules? Because this seems like a pretty big change. And in a year where a lot of folks are struggling to pay bills and do have debt, it's a meaningful thing to understand. So let's talk to attorney Ray Kaplan. I reached out to her earlier. I said, Ray, do you understand all this? And she goes, yeah, I can explain. So thank you for joining, Ray. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
So, forgive me. I didn't know much about this. I just kind of saw an investigative report on it, and I thought, well, geez, let me look into that. I started, you know, pulling stories on it, and I thought, well, this is real, right? This is all changing next year.
Yeah, you know, it's going to take effect a year from when it's placed in the Federal Register, so expect the changes really to take place at the end of 2021. So nothing immediate is going to happen, but as you said, debt collectors are going to be able to contact consumers via text message and even social media. And the reason this is kind of interesting is because, you know, we're used to getting text messages from political campaigns and, you know, an appointment reminder for your doctor's office or for your salon, and all that comes through text messages. And really not that many people use the phone to actually make phone calls anymore. So as you can imagine, the debt collectors lobbyists were really chomping at the bit to change the law that would make it possible for them to contact you the way everybody else does, via text messages, because it's far less expensive for them than to have somebody, you know, sitting at call centers and calling people and making these phone calls. So they'd much rather be able to contact consumers through text messages, emails, and social media, kind of the way your doctor's office does and everybody else does. I would say there is a silver lining to this is that oftentimes, because people don't answer unknown numbers that are coming through to their phone, you might miss a phone call from a debt collector that would give you an opportunity to take care of a delinquent bill before it does real damage to your credit score. So this way, you know, if you're getting a text message notification, you're not going to be ignoring it the way you would, you know, an unknown phone number calling your cell phone. So there is that one kind of positive element to it. I would say that the big downside, though, is that there are already a lot of fraudsters and scam artists out there that, you know, contact you on your cell phone. And I think it's really important for consumers to slow the process down and figure out who's contacting you and ask them for information. Anybody legitimate is going to be able to provide you with proof that you actually owe them money. Just because you get a text message from somebody purporting to be a debt collector doesn't mean they actually are a debt collector, and it doesn't mean that you actually owe them money. So slow that process down, and most importantly, don't click on any links that they send you through a text message or any other, you know, email or social media or anything like that. If they're contacting you and say that they're collecting a debt, you can get on your computer, Google that debt collector, and call them and get the information that way, rather than compromising potentially all the information on your phone by clicking on a link that is sent to you by a scam artist. And as you know, they look pretty similar to the real deal, so that's going to be tricky.
They do, and they're getting better all the time. We talked to Steve Burness about this from Better Business Bureau. It used to be that they were, you know, the Nigerian person was asking you, and it was broken English about how you had to wire them money immediately, and that someone had life was going to be saved. That, you know, some people fall for them, and I don't shame those people. You don't judge them. But at the end of the day, they're now so good that you'll get something that looks like it's a Chase logo. It does. They lift it entirely. They say that there's fraud on your account. Just click this link. Check it out. And people do. And
absolutely.
Then boom, they got you. Hey, but I do want to get to this because we're already getting questions about it, Ray. I think people are wondering, what does this mean when they can reach you on social media? Can they friend you? Can they comment on your status? Can they start shaming you is the question we have, 815. Will they be able to shame you? Like go to your social media after you post a picture of your family having Thanksgiving dinner and just say, hey, by the way, save some of that money for me because you owe us X amount of dollars or whatever they want to write. Can they do that?
No, they can't. There are still rules in place, so they're allowed to contact you, meaning they can message you and contact you to ask you, the consumer, to contact them, but there are rules in the legislation that they're certainly not allowed to do anything like that. Very similar to the rules. So all of this is governed by the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and that is the law that really hasn't been changed much since 1977, and that is the law that prevented debt collectors from calling your neighbors, calling your friends and family and trying to embarrass you into calling them back and engaging with them. So basically the same type of rules apply. They can contact you and they can ask you to call them back and they can, you know, they can anything to try to collect the debt, but they can't do things like shaming you on social media or anything like that. And all of that would be actionable under the FDCPA. And people should note, though, it has to be a debt collector, a third-party debt collector. The original creditor, so if you owe Citibank money and Citibank does something to collect from you in a way that is embarrassing, they're not regulated by the FDCPA. Only third-party debt collectors are regulated by that statute. So if it's a debt collector, and let's say they do something to shame you on social media, mm-hmm. that would be something that would be actionable under the FDCPA. You could sue them and potentially get them to pay you thousands of dollars for that breach.
Interesting. Okay, so then there is some protection there built in. It's going to be interesting because, you know, you do see, obviously, if you owe a debt and a lot of people, you know, you do and you got to pay them. But at some point, some of these, the third party debt collectors, we've seen a lot of examples of this. They can be unscrupulous in their method, in their methods of reaching you. You just mentioned contacting neighbors or family. Is that allowed? I mean, what kinds of things? No.
No, they're not allowed to do that. And in fact, what the problem that we see a lot is that they'll call your place of employment. They're allowed to call you at your place of employment. However, you can stop that. And the same thing with this new law in the FDCPA, which allows them to contact you through text messages and on social media. It also, they must provide a way for you to opt out. So if you get a message from a debt collector and you see it pop up on your Instagram or Twitter or your, you know, text messages or email, you can click here to opt out so that you don't have to continue to get messages. But if you don't opt out, then they can continually try to contact you. So there are still strict rules. It's just that they have the same access to you that, say, you know, your doctor's office or your salon does in order to get in touch with you.
Okay. And then email and text is fair game. They can keep texting you and texting you just like they call you now?
Yes, they can. They can email you. They can text you. They can contact you at work. You have to write them and let them know that they are not allowed to, that you no longer wish to have them contacting you at work or this in any of these other ways. As long as you let them know and it's in writing that they are not to contact you either at work or through text messages, emails, or social media, then you're fine. And they will stop contacting you, or at least that's the law. And if they don't, then that's actionable under the FDCPA, and you could potentially file a case against them and potentially get thousands of dollars in for those violations. But the key is that if they continue to do it after you ask them not to in writing, you want to keep a record, which should be pretty easy if they're contacting you via text messages and emails. You want to keep a record showing that they continue to contact you in that way even after you asked them not to. So you are allowed to opt out of it.
Okay, that's good to know. Hey, a final question here. I know you normally come on to talk about student loans and that kind of thing, but you also deal with other debt. And right now, a lot of folks not in the best financial situation are dealing with that debt and those bills that still come in. Any advice for people who are looking at, you know, trying to pay off debts that they just can't afford right now?
Yes, I would say right now, if you're in a situation where you're having trouble making your your monthly payments that you have to meet. In other words, your mortgage payment, your rent payments, your car payments. Don't worry about paying off your credit card debt. Even though interest is accruing, that is going to be something that you want to place on the back burner. Anything over and above your, you know, the things that are very necessary every month to keep a roof over your head, keep your family fed, those are the things that you have to pay off, that you have to meet every month, and everything else is really secondary, because that can all be dealt with. Even if you let your credit cards go into debt or you let your private loans go into debt, most of the time we can work out a settlement agreement with them, so don't stress about it too much. As long as you're able to meet your basic needs every month, which, you know, right now it's kind of an emergency time if you're laid off of work and if you don't have money coming in, don't worry about paying credit card debts, medical bills. Those kinds of things can all be dealt with at a later time and probably settled even for a lesser balance. So
yeah,
I
talk
would say
about
not
that.
To stress about
I
it.
Think that's a great yeah. point you just brought up, for a lesser balance. Is there a way to negotiate right now if they call you and you just say, hey, there isn't enough money to go around? Is there a negotiation process yeah. that can help bring those bills down for you?
Yes, there is. So if you have credit card debt or private loans, so we're talking about not mortgage payments, nothing where your house is secured or your car is secured, but unsecured debt, credit card debt, stuff like that, we can settle for a lesser balance. And in my experience, usually we can get them to settle for anywhere between 30 to 50% of the principal plus interest. So let's say you have a credit card where you owe $25,000. Once it goes into default, which under most contracts is 120 days without a payment, we can probably get them to settle for half of that. And even structured settlements where they spread it out over a long period of time, it doesn't mean that you have to come up with the $12,000 all at once. So a lot of creditors, they understand, a lot of these lenders understand that this is a difficult time right now, and they're willing to settle for lesser balances. But again, the debts have to be in default. So they'll tell you that they won't settle, but that's just because you're not actually in default yet. So sometimes it takes actually not making those payments for a little while to actually get into default, and that means that then they're ready to settle. So if people have questions about that, we help people with debt settlement all the time.
It's good stuff to know, important stuff to know now more than ever. Thank you, Ray, for giving us the advice this afternoon. Remind us how we reach you.
Absolutely. Our website is financialrelief.com, or you can give us a call at 312-294-8989.
Thank you, Ray.